Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of The Dollar Collapse. And John, there's a lot for us to talk about today. So first and foremost, we're going to start off with U.S. equity markets. They are down and down fairly significantly. Now, they have just recently rebounded from their lowest levels, but we still have the S&P and the Dow down 2.25%. That is almost 600 points in the Dow. It's 65 points in the S&P, plus the NASDAQ is down 200 points. That's 2.5%. This all comes on the back of yesterday when the markets moved up on the back of pushing back of trade or tariffs in China. But you know what? There is still this underlying weakness in U.S. equity markets, something that I've actually been talking a fair bit about just today and over the last little while, but especially today. What are your thoughts on the sell-off in the U.S. equity markets and the just continued weakness that we're seeing?
Hey, Corey. Well, you know, it's hard to ascribe any one thing to the volatility that we've got going on now because up and down, we're seeing the markets just be euphoric one day and totally depressed the next day. But I think it's possible that what's happening today has a lot to do with the fact that the U.S. Treasury yield curve finally inverted yesterday, where the 10-year yield dropped below the 2-year yield. And we've been talking about that, or people have been talking about that, for months and months and months. So the fact that it has finally happened, it came at a time when people are primed to be paying attention to that indicator and are worried about it. So that could account for some of what happened in the stock market today. Yeah, because it really is a brutal day in the stock market. Across the board, everything is down. Interest rates. I wasn't watching interest rates today. Are they still down? Are they falling on the day?
They are inverted too. And yes, interest rates are continuing to fall. This is just another trend. The 10-year is at 1.588 right now.
Yes, geez. That's approaching the all-time record low. And the same thing with 30-year yield at 2.04 as I have it on my ticker here. And that's pretty close to an all-time low. So, you know, we're heading into uncharted territory here with interest rates. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see the effect, because in Keynesian economic theory, all-time low interest rates should result in an all-time impressive boom in borrowing and spending, right? And mortgages in the U.S. key off of the 10-year Treasury yield, and usually they're about 1.5 percentage points higher than the Treasury yield. So a 1.5% 10-year Treasury yield implies a 3% mortgage rate, which is historically extremely low. So that'll ignite at least a refi boom, right? Everybody's going to refinance their mortgages to get that lower rate. But it's not clear what that means for home buying. We'll have to see. And therefore, it's not clear what that means for the borrowing and spending activities of people here. But yeah, fascinating time and really surprising because it looked like interest rates were stabilizing there for a while. And the Fed was being cooperative and the other central banks were being cooperative and the markets were becoming a little bit more optimistic. But that all went away in a hurry here.
Yeah, it really has. But don't you think this will also be forcing the Fed even further into rate cuts, even though that doesn't steepen the yield curve at all? They seem to have completely lost control of the long end.
Actually, that's probably the big cause of the volatility overall now. The Fed was forced to cut rates one time, but they tried to be cute. They came out and said, well, we're cutting rates, but don't. You know, don't think this is the start of a trend or anything. This is just a mid-course correction. And the markets didn't want that. They wanted a sustained easing to begin right now, where QE comes back and is augmented with new kinds of asset purchases and interest rates start falling to European and Japanese levels. And anything short of that makes the stock market very nervous. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the financial markets tell the Fed that it has to start a sustained easing program or the global economy is going to fall apart. And the guys in charge of the Fed are going to be this generation's Herbert Hoover. They're going to be the people who presided over and kind of sort of caused the next Great Depression. That's the stakes out there right now. And the Fed is obviously aware of all this. And plus, you've got the president now who's willing to jawbone the Fed in public instead of private. I'm sure there used to be a lot of discussions behind closed doors where the president told the Fed what to do, and the Fed, you know, either did or did not obey. But now you got the president saying it in public, and that's an added level of pressure for the Fed. And historically, when the markets flake out, the Fed eases. That's the past 30 years' new normal for monetary policy in the U.S. So there's no reason to think that the guys running the Fed now, who are part of that system, you know, they're the acolytes of Bernanke and Greenspan. There's no reason to think that they won't comply, especially if we see a couple more days like this. You know, it really comes down to the number. In other words, how far does the stock market have to fall before the monetary authorities absolutely panic and start doing whatever they have to do to stop the fall? We don't know what that number is, but it's safe to say, based on history, that a few more days like this are going to get us really close to the number, if not push us over that line. And the Fed is going to start easing again in a sustained way, which is damn good for gold, you would think. So, you know, 2008 is a kind of a scary object lesson in what happens when the financial markets tank, because that pulled down gold stocks as well. So you saw everything go down for a little while, but then you saw gold and silver just take off and pull gold mining stocks along with them shortly. You know, it was a V bottom, but the process of getting to the bottom of the V bottom was brutal. And we have to hope that's not going to happen again to gold and silver mining stocks, but you never know.
No, and that's the tough part, right? You do not know what's going to happen to the gold and silver stocks. And even today, they're generally weaker than the underlying metal. And you know what? A lot of people are saying we're due for a correction because this run has gone on and we're in overbought territory. Fact of the matter is, in bull markets, you can stay in overbought territory for quite a while. But the stocks are starting to show a little bit of weakness. But that also could be just because fear is definitely in the markets. That's why we're seeing treasury spike. That's why we're seeing gold continue to move up. And you know what? The risky metal stocks, especially the smaller ones, they do tend to lag sometimes in these risky or fearful trades. Any comments on that?
Yeah. Mining stocks and the underlying metals don't always move in lockstep. In general, the mining stocks move in the same direction as the metals and in a more exaggerated way. But on a day-to-day basis, all kinds of things can happen. And profit-taking in that sector is pretty reasonable right now because a lot of these little stocks have just jumped, and the big ones. You know, you've got a lot of 40, 50, 60% gains in things out there. And it's reasonable, just especially based on the last 5 years, which were filled with disappointment for mining stock investors. It's reasonable to think that a lot of people are out there thinking, all right, now I'm going to take 20% off the table right now and see what happens, because they learned their lesson from the recent past. So we should expect hard days in mining stocks every once in a while in the context of what might now be a long-term bull market that's getting going. And maybe some really hard days where we actually have corrections, you know, 10% drops in broad sections of mining stocks. But part of the reason that gold and silver and the related mining stocks are doing so well right now is that they're just catching up with fundamentals. They should have been a lot higher all along. And just to catch up with where they should have been, say, 5 years ago, it requires a nice run, and to then move on to where they should be as these trends out there metastasize. You know, as all the bad things we're doing come to a head, that ought to just light a fire under gold and silver. And so that's the next stage of this. This is just catch up now with where the fundamentals have said they should be for a really long time. The next stage is the parabolic stage, when people start extrapolating today's problems into the indefinite future and investing accordingly, which is to say jumping into safe haven assets with both feet because the world is going to be horrible forever. And that kind of mindset hasn't taken hold yet. But, you know, if you look around the world, it's really easy to come to that conclusion that we are just headed off a cliff here, because pretty much any major financial player in the world right now is in some kind of trouble in terms of countries. Japan cannot generate the inflation it needs to offset its massive debt, and its population is aging at an accelerating rate. You know, they're like a island old folks home now. And Europe is a total mess. They've got political turmoil, and Germany is no longer the engine of growth there. Germany is actually shrinking. And if Germany is not rocking, Europe is a catastrophe. And the U.S., you know, our problems are just, in a lot of ways, self-inflicted. But we still have a lot of big issues here. You know, we're taking on insane amounts of debt, and pension plans everywhere you look are getting ready to blow up in the next bear market, and on and on. You could easily look around the world and come to the conclusion that now's the time to move all your assets into safe haven sectors. And when a critical mass of people come to that conclusion, then we get the parabolic moves, you know, the run back up to $50 and beyond for silver, and beyond 2000 US for gold. It's coming. This feels like the beginning of it, but we can't know that. Yeah.
Exactly, the beginning of it, right? And this can all take a bit of time for everyone to get on board, but it does very much seem early innings for this move into the precious metals. Because you look around and oil continues to struggle, copper's down again today, all these industrial assets continue to struggle. And that might be one reason why silver was lagging a bit, but silver has also gotten a boost now. So the defensive stocks and defensive sectors have really taken a shine here recently, and nothing moves in a straight line, but all of these factors and now this yield curve inversion pretty much across the board has to be driving home the message to investors that a recession is right around the corner, whether it's 1 or 2 years away. Hey, John, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time. Everyone, click that link below. Go visit John's website, dollarcollapse.com, to stay up to date with what John is writing. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Corey.